But sometimes things are best not put in nutshells. This is the gospel, not in a nutshell, but in the mouth of an apostle. You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we hath made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But he denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer, but ye denied a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. You know, most of the creeds have elements of that in them, you know. So you see right here, here we are in the midst of what the doctrine is concerning the gospel. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You know, it is the faith which is by Jesus. You know, I never think, you know, faith is often portrayed as something that emanates from within man. It is impossible for man to even have faith except God give it to man, especially when it comes to the truth. I mean, everyone has a measure of faith for some purpose. I mean, people believe their husbands and wives are faithful, or they believe they're not. But they have all kinds of beliefs about all kinds of things. People have faith in this and faith in that. But to have faith in the truth, or in the true God, or in the true Christ, comes by Christ and through him. His name is not merely five letters, J-E-S-U-S. That is not the name of Christ. The name of Christ is what I have been reading to you, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. That is only Christ I'm interested in, the one who actually was raised from the dead. There are many Christs which were never raised from the dead, but are preached today. There are many Jesuses which were never raised from the dead, because they never lived, because they're imaginary. But they're preached today. I only want to preach the actual man who was, at least the one who was recorded in the book. Other than that, I mean, we can go on speculation and things like that, but what's the point? Can we even understand what is written here? Because many people cannot. So he was given perfect soundness in the presence of everyone there. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. He says, you crucified him ignorantly. You didn't even know what you were doing. In fact, the Apostle Paul in another place says, we speak the First Corinthians, he says, we speak the wisdom of God, which God hath hidden in a mystery, which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they knew it, they would not have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. If God had not hidden it from their eyes, they would not have done the will of God, which was that Christ should be crucified. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. God fulfilled everything concerning Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the enemies of Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the friends of Jesus Christ. The friend who would betray him. The friends who would abandon him. All the things written in the prophets concerning the Messiah that were to be fulfilled in Christ, God caused them to be fulfilled. When the question comes up, who crucified Christ? Did the Jews crucify Christ? No, the Jews did not crucify us. God crucified Christ. And this here says it very clearly. Verse 18, Acts chapter 3. Those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent, ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you and your brethren, I'm sorry, unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. You will hear him. He was that prophet whom the heavens must receive. This is standard Christian doctrine. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Jesus Christ was sent to turn people from iniquity. John the Baptist came preaching, paving the way for Christ. What would he come paving the way for Christ? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that right there is a point lost. People don't think that God, Christ came to bless us in turning us from our iniquities. But as it was written in the book of John, chapter 8, Jesus said, he was telling the Pharisees, you know, you're in bondage. And they said, we're not in bondage. How do you say we're in bondage? You know, we were never in bondage to anyone. We're the children of Abraham. We are the children of God. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. You understand this is very simple. If you commit sin, you are the servant of sin. You are not a righteous person. You are serving sin. And Jesus said, and the servant abideth not in the house forever. You will not abide in the house of God forever if you serve sin. Do you understand that very simply? Serving sin will get you served with an eviction notice from the house of God. But the Son abideth forever. The Son abideth ever. What does that mean? It means you have to be the Son of God, to abide in his house forever. Now, we cannot be Jesus Christ, right? We cannot be born of a virgin, never commit a sin in our life. But there is a sense in which God's righteousness is imputed to us, and that is for the sins that are past. He imputes his righteousness to us, covers our sins that we have committed in the past,